How many people have actually been to the town of Fletcher, Ohio? Yes. Yeah, nobody actually stops there. That is the address that I was that I grew up at. I actually was born in Troy, Ohio, and then grew up there. But you know, a lot of people just don't know a lot about Fletcher. In fact, I lived there, and I really don't know a lot about Fletcher, other than it has a volunteer fire department. It used to have a police department. I think the guy lost his bullet. Barney Fife, you know the but the book of the Bible that we're talking about today is kind of like it's less traveled. It's not really, in fact, several people have talked to me and said, I don't think I've ever heard a message on the book of Jude, right? It's really one chapter, 25 verses. It's a letter. It's a letter written to a group of Christians. Last week, we talked about how Jude, which is one of the brothers of Jesus, really challenged these believers to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, meaning they need to really know what the faith is, understand the content of their faith, and they need to be able to defend it because there were ones in their midst who were going to be challenging the faith. All right? And so we're going to continue in that book this morning. Let's pray together before we get into God's word here. Heavenly Father, we're just so grateful to be able to come together and sing praises to your name, to be able to encourage one another in the faith, to grow in our understanding of who you are and what you want for us. And so, Lord, we at this time also just want to think about those in our church family here, and our families that need your touch, that need your healing touch, maybe physically, maybe they're sick, they have some disease, and we pray, Lord, for healing for them, and pray that you deliver them from that. And Lord, also, maybe they need emotional healing. They've got some things that have happened in their lives that are really hindering them. We pray, Lord, that you would grant them freedom and to be able to live unshackled. And so, Lord, we also just pray, Lord, for ourselves this morning. Give us understanding, Lord. Help us to know what it is you want for us this morning. And I pray, Lord, for myself, just help me, Lord, fill me up. Let me be true to your word today. In Jesus' name, we ask it. Amen. So I'm going to read for you this short letter, okay? So just listen, and you can follow along up here, or if you have your Bible or device, you want to look up Jude. I'll be reading it here in the English Standard Version. It says, Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in, unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved a people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe, and the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling. He has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities, which likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued a natural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. Yet, in like manner, these people also, relying on their dreams, defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. But when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce blasphemous judgment, but he said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. These are hidden reefs at your love feast, as they feast with you without fear, shepherds feeding themselves, waterless clouds swept along by winds, fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead, uprooted, wild waves of the sea casting up the foam of their own shame, wandering stars for whom the gloom of utter darkness has been reserved forever. It is also about these that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way and of all the harsh things that ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They are loud-mouthed boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, 'In the last times there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen." This is God's word. Listen, there's a lot in that letter, man. And I think I told you guys last week that, you know, we did the first four verses, right? So this week we're going to really focus in on verses 5 through 16, which has all of these, like, cross-references back to the Old Testament. And so we'll be hitting on some of that. And I thought it would just be helpful to just have a really quick overview here so you can kind of get the lay of the land if you've never looked at the letter of Jude before. The first four verses really, again, just issue kind of a challenge. Fight for the faith, meaning the content of your faith. Know what the Christian faith is, right? Those truths, and hang on to those, right? And then he's going to give us warnings and judgment against false teachers. That's what we're focusing in on today. And then next week, we'll cover these next two points. We have some encouragement to keep going, to keep on persevering, all right, for Jesus. And then this doxology, which, if you don't know what a doxology is, just an expression of praise to God. And that those verses 24 and 25 speak of that. All right, so that's kind of the lay of the land. Again, we're focusing in here on these warnings and judgment against false teachers and so on. And as we get into this, as we dip our toe into verses 5 through 7, and we take a look here, let me get back to Jude myself in the Bible here. You look at verse 5, he says, "Now I want to remind you, although you once fully knew it, that Jesus, who saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." So we're going to get three illustrations here from the Old Testament. I think I told you, like, Jude likes these little triplets, okay? And he says things in threes a lot of times. And here's one of them. And so we see here that he brings up Israel, all right? He brings up the people of God as they were being taken, you know, God was rescuing them, delivering them out of slavery, right? He used Moses to do that. But what happened was because of their unbelief, and I don't know if you remember this, I was actually reading in Joshua the first couple of chapters, and you know, in the book of Joshua, they send out spies to kind of look out into the land that God was giving them before they cross over the Jordan. They sent out these spies to check it out, right? And of course, you know, the whole thing happens where the people are just afraid, they're scared and so on. And so, long story short, right, the problem is that God's people aren't believing him and trusting him. And as a result of that, a whole generation, God says, will not enter the promised land. A whole generation died in the wilderness, and that was God's judgment on them for not believing. For not believing him, right? And then we have this mention of the angels here, right? And so the fallen angels here in verse 6, it says, "And the angels who did not stay within their own position of authority, but left their proper dwelling, he has kept in eternal chains under gloomy darkness until the judgment of the great day." So he's just saying, here's another example here of this these angels who just were not content with their position that God had given them, and they rebelled, right, against God. And we have the fallen angels as another example. And then he gives another example of Sodom and Gomorrah, right? There in verse 7, just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding cities were likewise indulged in sexual immorality and pursued unnatural desire, serve as an example by undergoing a punishment of eternal fire. So he gives yet another example. So kind of three examples. They all end in judgment, right? They all end in judgment. And if you will, some of these three examples here really relate to what these false teachers were doing. If you may remember in the early verses of Jude, he talks about how let me just look at it here. He talks about how for certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation. Ungodly people who what? Pervert the grace of our God into sensuality. And so they were basically, you know, speaking about that they could just do whatever they wanted, right? And it didn't matter. It didn't matter to God that you're kind of covered by the grace of God. Just do whatever you want, right? So they turned the grace of God into license, meaning whatever I want to do, right? And that's not an accurate understanding of God's grace, right? Okay? And so we have that. We have these false teachers. We're promoting a false teaching about that, about a way of living that we can just live however we feel. And he uses Sodom and Gomorrah as that example, right? And so here we just have this remembering your history. You know, it's history is there for us, isn't it? To teach, we should learn from the past. In fact, even in the scriptures, in the New Testament, it tells us that these things here, these Old Testament accounts, were written for our benefit, so that we could learn from them. Right? We learn about God certainly and His character and what He's like, but we also are to learn from those lessons. And He's saying you need to remember these several examples in the Old Testament and learn from these. Right? That what was the end of all of these situations? Judgment, right? So, you know, I guess you could say it, the result would be is, well, don't do that. Trust God, believe what He says, right? You can't live your life by your feelings and do what you want, okay? All right, so this week, some of you have kids that went back to school, right? And you usually have a meet the teacher time, right? And or maybe the parents themselves actually end up going to school. I remember when we did this with our kids, we end up going to the school some evening, and you kind of go through your child's schedule, changing classrooms and everything, you know, on a shortened schedule, obviously, like every 5 to 10 minutes. Well, so that was meet the teacher. Well, this is, for us, this is going to be meet the false teacher day, okay? You're going to meet the false teacher, and you're going to understand what these false teachers, how to spot a false teacher, if you will. And so I just thought, well, just turn it into meet the false teacher, okay? So how are we going to meet the false teachers? When you're introduced to them in this passage, what do we learn? The first thing is, and you can always spot a false teacher, is they reject rightful authority. They reject rightful authority. Okay? Now, I might add, too, even before we get a little bit more in that passage about that point, I wanted to mention Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, in verses 29 and 30, it really talks about these false teachers in general. And I just think that we need to realize this. Okay? Acts 20, 29 and 30. Where the writer of Acts says, know that, and by the way, we put this in perspective. Paul's speaking to elders. He's speaking to the leadership of this church at Ephesus, and here's what he says. Know that after my departure, Paul says, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves, hello, from among the elders, from among the leadership, he's saying, right? From among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. So Paul is speaking that, you know, don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. You need to be aware, you know, that wolves will come in among you and try to draw away a following after themselves, and they will teach twisted things, things that are not true, things that are clearly against what God's word says, okay? So it's important for us to understand what it does say so that when somebody teaches something contrary to what it says, we know that's false teaching, right? So we got to do that, right? I mentioned this before. I don't know how they train tellers now, but they used to train them to discern a counterfeit bill by the feel. But if you feel enough of the good bills, you know a fake one when you touch it, okay? And so you know the fakes by studying the real thing. I'm not saying it's bad to kind of understand what false teaching is out there, but you really need to know what the Bible actually says and understand it yourself so that we can know and say, that just doesn't seem right, right? We need to do that. And so I'm kind of giving you the why. This is why this is important, right? We don't want to be shipwrecked like the examples we just read about, okay? We don't want to be like that. So that's just kind of the why, I guess, before we get into this. And we talk about here, you know, meeting these false teachers, and we see that in verse 8, back in Jude, Jude says, yet in like manner, these people also relying on their dreams defile the flesh, reject authority, and blaspheme the glorious ones. Now, this is interesting. The New Living Translation, I think, gives a little bit of, I think, spells it out about what is this about dreams? My wife and I were talking about earlier this morning. She goes, you've been talking in your sleep. Of course, the first thing is, well, what did I say? And she said, last night you said, up. And I was like, okay. Well, I knew I woke up. I had a dream last night where we had an intruder. Okay, yeah. And so I was coming down the stairs in my dream, and the intruder had their back to me. And do you know how that sense in your sleep where you're like, wake up! You're like telling yourself, wake up, because I need to take action. I need to take this dude out, you know, whatever. And so apparently that dream, you know, I said up, and I remember waking up. I think that's probably what I was. I was probably trying to say, wake up, Greg. But you know, I did not put any authority in that dream. I didn't say, oh, well, then that must mean there is an intruder, you know. See, what was happening here, I think we can see that these guys, they were claiming authority with their dreams. Kind of like saying, well, I had a dream, the Lord told me this, therefore I'm going to do that, and maybe that would contradict what God had already said, okay? I'm not saying God doesn't even use dreams today. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying they put that as the authority, okay? It would be like somebody saying, well, I had a dream, and God told me it's okay to divorce my wife and go, you know, after this other lady, because certainly God wants me to be happy, you know? Okay, and that, you know, so that wouldn't be right, okay? So I'm just saying, but using that dream as an authority, right? So these guys were doing things like that. So they were rejecting rightful authority, in this case, authority of Scripture, or what God's revealed will already was, putting their experience in these dreams over and above that. Now, we even see how that carries out in the other part of the verse 8 there, where he says, they defile, you know, relying on their dreams, they defile the flesh. You know, they were using these things as excuses to live however they wanted. Well, live immorally doesn't matter, you know, because God gave me a dream and it's okay and that kind of thing. All right. Now, when you look down at verse 9, oh my gosh, this is so weird. Where he talks about Michael the archangel, right? And he says, but when the archangel Michael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a blasphemous judgment, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these people, meaning these false teachers, these people blaspheme all that they do not understand, and they are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. This whole thing about Moses, the body of Moses, and Michael the archangel disputing with the devil over the body of Moses, right? So we knew from Deuteronomy that God buried Moses, right? All right, so God buried Moses somewhere. Now, this statement about Michael the archangel arguing with the devil most likely comes from something called the Assumption of the Body of Moses, some extra-biblical literature. Okay, so he's likely quoting something that would have been very well known to these people. That's not foreign. Paul did that kind of thing in the book of Acts, saying something these guys can relate to, all right? So here we are reading this how many years later, right? This is not common knowledge to us, okay? But he is simply saying, and I think his point is simply this. Remember, we've been talking about that these false teachers reject rightful authority. Michael was not going to presume, in this little illustration, Michael the archangel was not going to exert his own authority and say, I rebuke you, devil. He was saying to the Lord, Lord, rebuke you. He was relying on the authority of God's authority, not his own. He wasn't putting himself in a position of authority that he didn't have. Okay? And so he respected authority. And that's really what the issue here is with these false teachers. They were not putting themselves under the Word of God as an authority. Okay? They were not doing that whatsoever. Well, and then we have another triplet. We have another three things that are mentioned after this. Okay? And so it says here in verse 11, woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain, abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error, and perished in Korah's rebellion. He's just like, pew, pew, pew. You know? Three Old Testament illustrations again, right? And so just real quickly, Cain in Genesis 4, okay, right, where Cain offered, Cain and Abel, the brothers, right, offering their offerings to the Lord. Well, Cain's was not accepted, right, by God. And as a result, Cain killed Abel, right? And so, there's lots of discussion about why God didn't like his offering, okay? Was it what he was offering? Was it the quality of the offering? Or was it his heart in giving the offering? Maybe all of the above, okay? I don't think we know for sure, but I was going to hang my hat on in terms of like, well, what's the context here? What are we talking about, right? Just the fact that he had He must have had some kind of rebellion in his heart. God even saw his countenance, right, after this and said, you know, he spoke to it so that he knew something wasn't right in his heart, and it showed on his face. Don't we do that, right? We sometimes, some of us are more readable than others, right? But our countenance often reflect what's going on in us, right? And so I think really here, his illustration is just saying that with rebellion in Cain's heart, he brought the offering to God and God did not accept it. So there was some kind of rebellion there in his heart. Balaam, okay, he used his gifts and ministry for financial gain at the expense of others. Okay, I mean, I'm not going into detail on all these stories, all right? So if you want to read about that, right, you're going to go back to Deuteronomy 23. Okay, and so that's what that's about. This guy named Balaam used his God-given gifts, right, and ministry for financial gain. Right? These false teachers were doing that too. They were only interested in themselves. Okay? And so we have that. And then he talks about Korah's rebellion in number 16. Well, Korah and some others decided, you know what? What is it about Moses and Aaron that we don't have? I mean, hey, aren't we all God's children? Shouldn't we all have a say in what we're doing here? I mean, that's a little paraphrase, but that's basically what they did. And so they said, you know what? We don't think you're in charge, you know? And then they had a showdown, man. Guess who lost? Korah and his buddies, okay? Got swallowed up in the ground. That'd make for a good movie, you know? And so they just, you know, literally God just shut that rebellion down, right? And so that was in number 16, right? And so again, the result was God judged Korah and those who spoke against his appointed leaders. You see the pattern here? They rejected authority on all different kinds of levels. God's will, his revealed will, right? They rejected that, kind of went on their dreams, did whatever they felt they should do according to their dreams and so on. And then they just had this rebellious heart. Where they were not, you know, he's just using this as an illustration, these three Old Testament examples to say, these false teachers have a problem with authority. And that is a litmus test, okay, for false teachers, is if they have a problem with authority or they like to be in control, that's a red flag, okay? Now, the second thing is that they are selfish and self-absorbed. All right, selfish and self-absorbed. Where are we getting that from? Well, if you look in verses 12 and 13 there in Jude, he says, and he uses all these word pictures, I mean, things that bring images to your mind, right? What does he say? He says, these, and again, when he says these, he's talking about these people. These are hidden reefs at your love feasts, as they feast with you without fear. You know, in their gatherings, as they gathered together and had a meal together, right? In their fellowship of believers, right? As they did that, he says, these guys are sneaking in there and they're like hidden reefs, or I think the alternative translation says blemishes. They're like blemishes on your love feasts. It's like a bad mark on your group, basically, right? And then he says, shepherds feeding themselves. Shepherds feeding themselves. So what is he getting at there? Well, shepherds are always in the Bible images of leadership, right? Leading God's people. Well, shepherds aren't supposed to be about looking out for themselves, right? Good shepherds are supposed to be looking out for the flock at their own expense, even, right? As I think about this, Ezekiel 34:2 comes to mind, where it says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel." And again, he's not talking about the guys, you know, taking care of the sheep, literal sheep. He's talking about the leaders of God's people. That's what he's talking about. So he's saying, "Prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding themselves. Should not shepherds feed the sheep?" He's just calling it out. He's saying the leaders of God's people here were not feeding their people. They were really concerned about themselves. It was all about them. Okay? And I'll say, selfishness and being self-absorbed, that's a mark of a false teacher, right? Anybody, you know, who's in leadership, who is self-absorbed, should not be in leadership. It's about laying down your life. Jesus, the ultimate shepherd, right? He says in John chapter 10, verses 10 and 11, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came, Jesus says, that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. The good shepherd looks out for himself? No. The good shepherd, he says, lays down his life for the sheep. That's biblical leadership. False teachers are all about themselves, not about laying their, you know, you talk about laying down their lives. No, they're going to squirm right out of that one. Okay? Because it's about them. They're in it for their own gain. All right? So, one thing I got to say is Jude was a name caller. Okay? He wasn't afraid to call names. Okay? We don't know these people, but he called them everything. Because he just said what it was, right? And you get that flurry of stuff there. verse 16, oh my goodness, did you get that? These are grumblers, malcontents, following their own sinful desires. They're loudmouth boasters, showing favoritism to gain advantage. He was not afraid to call it like it was, right? And so he's just telling us what these false teachers were like. And so when loudmouth boasters, right, I think about these other images we get. Waterless clouds. Well, what use are waterless clouds? Not much. They're not going to drop any rain on your crops, right? It's like all show but no go. I mean, there's no substance, right? And then they say fruitless trees in late autumn. You go down to Lynn's Fruit Farm over in New Albany, I mean, I think we're going to find some fruit there coming up here in the fall, right? I hope so. Okay, there you go. Started the U-Pix. All right, so, you know, the point is that tree's really bad in late autumn if it's not doing anything, if it's not producing anything. It's like again, all show, no substance. Big mouths, no content, okay? They talked the talk, but there was no substance to their lives. Okay, these are marks of false teachers that we need to be aware of. Showing favoritism to gain advantage. They're just looking, every angle's about them. They're using people to get what they need and what they want. Again, a mark of a true leader in the church is someone who's laying down their lives for the sheep. They're willing to forego even their own needs to sacrifice for the flock. All right? Now, if that wasn't bad enough, just all this stuff that has been mentioned, I mean, their lifestyle is ungodly. Did you catch verses 14 and 15, especially 15? How many times does it say ungodly? You know? It's just like, so in verse 14, it says, it was also about these, meaning these people, that Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his holy ones to execute judgment on all and to convict all of the ungodly of their deeds of ungodliness that they have committed in such an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things that the ungodly sinners have spoken against. I mean, you get the sense that these guys were ungodly. I don't know where I'm getting that, but, you know, I mean, repetition is great in the Bible, isn't it? It just really emphasizes, you know, these guys not only, were looking out for themselves, but again, it just reinforces their lifestyle did not match what God's word said. They were ungodly. Now, what's this about Enoch, you know, because you're not going to find that in the canon of Scripture here, right? This is from some apocryphal book, the book of Enoch. He's quoting, again, another extra-biblical text, all right? But using it to make a point. He's saying, judgment! Judgment on these guys! Okay, that's their end. He's just making a point. He keeps saying, telling us what these guys are like and telling us what their end is. Okay? I mean, that you could summarize this verses 5 through 16 up in that. What are the false teachers like and what is their end? Okay? And that's what. And so it's important that we don't want to get sucked into false teaching, right? And be washed down with them, right? So their lifestyle is ungodly. So, you know, this is important. You know, as a community of believers, you know, if you're Christ follower, it's important that you and I, again, know what the scriptures say and be able to discern truth from error. Okay? It's not just up to the leadership, because what if the leadership is off? Right? Okay, this is key, because, you know, in other words, it's all our responsibilities to know what the truth is, right? And that's why I mentioned last week, I mentioned to us how it's important it is for us to wrestle with God's truth in community. There's safety in that, right? And I'm not saying don't study your Bible yourself, but I'm saying, you know, it's helpful to kind of test what you're thinking this says with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and there's safety in that, okay? There's safety in that. And just as a church community, there's safety in all of us pursuing a deeper understanding of what God's Word says so that we can guard against this kind of thing. Okay? Now, this is just Jude hanging up a big sign saying, warning! Warning! We were told this was going to happen, and it's here. That's what he's saying. You know, these guys, it wasn't like they walked in with t-shirts and said, I'm a false teacher. You know? No, they crept in. It says they crept in. You know, so we just have to be careful. We have to know our Bibles. We have to get into it. And you know, just a little plug here. You know, if you don't have any kind of a regular Bible reading plan or something just to get you in it, you know, you need to get one, okay? Because if you're anything like me, you're not very disciplined, right? And the dip and skip method just doesn't work very well. You know what I mean? You're just kind of skipping around because you're not getting the full picture of letters that were written in their entirety and all that sort of thing. And I encourage you, right, to find some kind of Bible reading plan and get broadly read, so that you can understand how, you know, the Bible is put together. But also, at the same time as you try to broadly read the Bible, I mean, try to read it through and so on, but also as you have your times with God, He will, if we're open to it, He will focus us in on certain aspects of the daily reading, right? It's almost like, you know, the spiritual highlighter. You know, God's kind of like impressing upon us different parts of our reading that day, right? And for me, yesterday, I was really focusing in on that we were created in God's image. And I was kind of just spending some time thinking about, what does it mean to be created in God's image? You know? And the fact that even after the fall, we're still in God's image. It's just messed up a little bit. You know, it's marred, okay? But we're still created in His image, you know? So I'm just saying that, you know, God's Word is not just there for information. It's there for to help us grow in Christ-likeness, right? And God does speak to us through His Word, okay? But you'll never know that if you're not in it. And we'll never be able to guard against the things Jude said unless we are in it, right? So today it's not just about, you know, we do want to spot the false teachers, you know, meet them as it were, how to spot a false teacher, but we all say, well, how can we guard against it? Well, we got to get an understanding of God's Word, right? So get in God's Word, get some kind of a Bible reading plan, whether you use that YouVersion app that some people do around here, or whether you just go online and look up Bible reading plans. You know, I mean, I don't really care what you do, but you just got to do something intentional, right? Because if you don't, it just, I find that if I don't have a plan, nothing happens. Or if it does, it's very sporadic. And we don't do it just to check off the little box, you know, that says, I'm behind, or whatever. But we do it because we want to know God, yeah, and we want to know what's true and what's right. And we, you know, if you're a Christian, you want to live in a way that's pleasing to God. Well, how do we know that? We get in the book, man. Okay. And so, let's just pray together, okay? Let's ask God's help for this and for his protection on our church body against false teaching, okay? And then we'll sing together. Heavenly Father, we come to you. And first of all, I'm just so thankful that you have spoken to us through your written word. And we are so thankful that we have your word in written form. It's amazing. Lord, give us a hunger for it. Maybe in our hearts we're like, you know, I'm just not getting anything out of it when I read it, or it's kind of tasting like stale cereal. You know, like I know I need to have something and I guess I'll eat it, but and so Lord, I just pray that you'd make it fresh to us. That if there is anything in our heart that needs to be dealt with that maybe is contributing to our sense of not hearing from your written word, or maybe feeling a distance, I pray that you'd help us to deal with that. Bring it up in our minds right now. Bring these things to our minds that might be, in a sense, getting in the way of a close walk with you. We're so thankful for the gospel that Jesus Christ, as Doug mentioned earlier, Jesus Christ died on the cross and rose again from the dead so that we might have eternal life, that anyone who would believe in him, put their faith in him, admit their need for a Savior, could be forgiven and have, present tense, have eternal life right now. We thank you for that. Lord, pray that you'd help us as a church family to really watch out for false teaching. Help us to really to hold fast to what is true. And Lord, help all of our leaders to be servant leaders who are feeding the sheep, who are laying down their lives for the sheep and not looking out for their own interests, but are looking out for the interests of others. Lord, help us to discern truth from error. I pray that you bless everyone here who gets into your word this week. I pray that you would show up in their Bible reading time. You would bless them for that. Encourage them in it and speak to them through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.